Chapter 11. Results of Contact and Receptivity. I am not indicating in any way how an individual can become telepathic. All those developments within the area or region of progressive contacts are only useful and truly available when they are developed normally and naturally and are not the result of premature unfoldment. When the development is premature, there is always the danger of wrong, erroneous, and self-centered interpretations. The telepathic information can be of purely selfish or personal import, and that type of telepathy has no place in what I am seeking to impart. People today frequently evidence a telepathic tendency or capacity. They tune in, a phrase they regard as more euphonious than the words telepathic rapport, with something or someone, though they know not what it is. Everything that they purport to register is regarded by them as of major importance. It is usually self-related and not due to their high point of spiritual unfoldment, which warrants their being the custodians of mysterious spiritual messages, usually of a most unimportant and platitudinous nature. There are many sources of these messages, and it might be useful if I here mention some of them. What I have to say may prove to be of value to the general occult public. 1. Messages emanating from the relatively nice, well-trained, subconscious nature of the recipient. These well up from the subconscious, but are regarded by the recipient as coming from an outside source. Introspective people frequently penetrate into the layer of subconscious recollection and are quite unaware of so doing. Their interest in themselves is so intense. Not knowing that they have done this, they regard what they find as unusual, beautiful, and important, and then proceed to formulate it into messages which they expect their friends and the general public to regard as spiritually based. These messages are normally innocuous, sometimes beautiful because they are a mixture of what the recipients have read and gathered from the mystical writing or have heard from Christian sources and the Bible. It is really the content of their right thinking along spiritual lines and can do no one any harm, but is of no true importance whatsoever. It accounts, however, for 85% of the so-called telepathic or inspired writings so prevalent at this time. 2. Impressions from the soul, which are translated into concepts and written down by the personality. The recipient is deeply impressed by the relatively high vibration which accompanies them, forgetting that the vibration of the soul is that of a master, for the soul is a master on its own plane. These are true soul impressions, but usually have in them nothing new or of major importance. They are, again, the result of past ages of soul development, as far as the personality is concerned. They are, therefore, that which an awakening personality has contributed to the soul of the good, the true, and the beautiful, plus that which has entered into the personality consciousness as a result of soul contact. This accounts for 8% of the writings and communications put before the general public by aspirants today. 3. Teachings given by a senior or more advanced disciple on the inner planes to a disciple under training or who has just been admitted into an ashram. These teachings bear the impress and conclusions of the senior disciple and are frequently of value. They may, and often do, contain information of which the recipient is totally unaware. The criterion here is that nothing, literally nothing, will concern the recipient, either spiritually or mentally, or in any other way connected with his personality, nor will they contain the platitudes of the religious background of the recipient. They will account for 5% of the teaching given, but this is in relation to the entire world, and the percentage does not refer to some one occult group, one religious faith, or one nation. The recognition of this is of vital importance. 4. Communications from a master to his disciple. This accounts for 2% of the entire telepathic receptivity demonstrated by humanity as a whole throughout the entire world. Western students would do well to remember that the subjective Eastern student is far more prone to telepathic receptivity than is his Western brother. This has a definite bearing on all the above classifications, which is somewhat humiliating for the Western mystic and occult student. The world scriptures emanate from another department of the second-rate teaching faculty. In this statement, I do not include the Old Testament, except such passages as the 23rd Psalm and certain passages out of the prophets, particularly the prophet Isaiah. The world scriptures were written for mystics occupied with beauty, comfort, and encouragement, and were not written for occultists. I would call this to your attention. In this section of the teaching, I am dealing with the nature and results of contact, of receptivity. I am giving no rules for individual development and would not if I could. Humanity today is developing receivers of every kind of concept, beginning with the lowest of them all, the masses of men who, through demagogues, the newspapers, the radio, books, and lectures, are conditioned by many minds according to their ray type of receptivity. As true intelligence develops, and as love begins to permeate human thinking, these conditioning factors will get increasingly less attractive. This means when the soul becomes of greater life importance, and man-made ideas, if such a phrase is permissible, of less importance. There are, in reality, no man-made ideas. There are only ideas as grasped by the intelligentsia, and then as stepped down by humanity's constant reaction to glamour, to emotional or astral conclusions, and to selfish interpretation. It must be remembered that the activity of all these impressing agencies is felt in a wide and general sense throughout the entire planet and the planetary aura. No kingdom in nature escapes this impact, and it is thus that the purpose of the Lord of the world is carried out. Being, coherence, and activity are thus blended into one created and creative whole. Life quality expressions from all the seven kingdoms in nature that eons have elapsed in developing the adequate discriminative sensitivity and in establishing the certitude of the point in evolution from which conscious invocation must arise and upon which the evoked impression must be registered. Unconscious invocation proceeds all the time. When it becomes conscious, it becomes exceedingly powerful. The entire human family is today an amazing receiver of impressions owing to its myriad types of susceptible mechanisms. These impressionable instruments are capable of registering tamasic impressions coming from the subhuman kingdoms, particularly the third and the first. They record rajasic impressions coming from mental sources of all kinds. They are also, to a much less degree, responsive to sattvic or rhythmic impressions. Their response to these high impressions and their registration of truth, light, and quality coming from the highest sources is, however, growing. It is because of this that the human kingdom, the great middle kingdom whose function it is to mediate between the higher and the lower, is the subject of much divine impression, conveying the purpose of Sanat Kumara. This you know. I have taught you much along this line in a treatise on the seven rays and also in the earlier treatise on cosmic fire. In these present instructions, I am dealing with group possibilities, with groups which can be trained to record, register, and be impressed by the hierarchy. Such a group can be in the position of being able to invoke the hierarchy with power, if it so choose. I am again bringing these things to your attention as aspirants and disciples, but from an angle different to those in my earlier writings. The responsibility of impressionability, of telepathic registration, and of invocative appeal is very great. Hence, what I have written here.